Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcons Cast podcast, if I can say it right. It's been a long day already as the Falcons got OTAs underway here in Flowery Branch this week, and you know, we're able to cover it once a week. So we were out there, and today is one of the days we were able to cover it. We being Jay Adams, Daniel Cox, always joining me.
Yes.
We are fresh off the field, and after doing a whirlwind and plenty of interviews, we're ready to talk a little bit about them on an extremely busy day, but one of those days that signals that, hey, football's here.
It's you know, Coach Smith, one of his favorite days. I know he was smiling a lot. The guys seemed really happy to be out there. But yeah, just standing out there on the field and kind of taking in a football practice kind of has a certain feel to me now. And you know, after doing it for a couple of years, and it felt a lot like training camp. And it just kind of got me that much more excited for training camp. So
yeah,
can't wait.
It absolutely did. It definitely had that feel to it. I'm ready. I know that.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about some of our impressions here. Couple of things, I guess, housekeeping kind of things to get out of the way. Desmond Trufant, the rookie cornerback out of Washington that the Falcons selected, number 21 overall in the first round. 22 overall. 21 is the number that he wears.
Yes.
Sorry. I'll get this right one day. He not attending OTAs today. May not be here for a little while as he continues to work towards his degree, and Washington will be holding its graduation ceremony here sometime in the next few weeks. That's what he's off doing. I think that's a perfectly good reason to, you know, miss OTAs. But not sure how long he's going to be out, but it's safe to say that he'll be he'll be here for training camp.
Yes.
Have no fear in that. But
yes.
The question is whether he ends up participating in any of the OTA sessions. So that's one thing to get out of the way first, I think, to let everybody know that you know, he's off doing some very important work right now. And I think the reason behind that is just the Pac-12, the West Coast schools have this weird quarter system. It's kind of like, you know, when you were in high school. I don't know. Did you have a quarter system in high school?
At one point, yeah. Yeah, we switched from semester to quarters.
I had quarters, and I know what it was like.
I don't remember.
But yeah. It lengthens the year a little bit for you.
But that's also linked to an NFL rule. Correct?
Yes. Well, it's a CBA rule.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, that's there are lawyers that are paid a lot more than me.
Right.
That have the privilege of trying to understand all that. So that's that. Tony Gonzalez obviously not here. Roddy White not here. Again, these OTAs are voluntary. They are not mandatory. So those guys not here. And what other housekeeping stuff? What do we got?
You caught me.
Sorry.
That's okay. Housekeeping? I don't think I have any housekeeping, but
Sean Weatherspoon and
okay,
Stephen
Sean,
Nicholas,
yeah, you're right, you're right.
Did
Sean
not
Weatherspoon
participate.
And Stephen Nicholas were out, as most everyone knew going into OTAs. However, Coach Smith did say that he felt like they would be returned around the end of OTAs and heading into the mini camp in June, so have no fear for that as well. There's nothing significant lingering or anticipated to be lingering with those two injuries. So the two starting outside linebackers will be ready to go.
Right, and you know, that's kind of it's never a good thing when anybody's injured, of course. So
no, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong here, but it gives some of the younger guys a few extra snaps, and even some of the not so young guys. You've got Robert James was getting his fair share of snaps out there,
right.
And this is, you know, another crucial year for him. And then some of the guys like a Pat Schiller, you know, gets out there and gets some more reps and gets to work with the veterans a little bit. So, you know, these are the guess the silver linings of a couple of these guys being out is that, you know, you can, you know what Sean Weatherspoon can do, and you know what Stephen Nicholas can do. And I think, you know, you just get a chance to see a little bit more of what some of these other guys can do as you get into a situation where, and I was looking at it today, there are going to be some very tough decisions that this coaching staff is going to have to make when we get into training camp and mandatory cutdown time.
Yeah.
It looks, I do not envy them at all. So
and you point out the linebacker position with those tough decisions. You know, coach has he added another group basically to his conversation of tough competitions, position battles heading into training camp and what will take place in training camp. He's already kind of identified offensive line and defensive line as those two of those spots where he said he felt like the competition would be similar to what they experienced in 2008, which was their first season, Coach Smith and his staff's first season in Atlanta, and there was a lot of turnover and transition going on. It's not turnover necessarily in terms of, you know, a new staff being in place here. It's just kind of that anticipated churn as a team continues to build and grow and get stronger and be successful each season. But he said he also added defensive backs and cornerbacks and safeties would be a highly contested battle, and you know that should also be expected, I guess, to some extent. You know, that the Falcons did spend two draft picks on safeties to bring in and compete with some guys like Shan Schillinger and Charles Mitchell, and of course you got your two Pro Bowlers in William Moore and Thomas Dekou. So that's another interesting little nugget from Coach Smith about some position battles. Defensive back is just one of those things with all my personal focus on offensive line and defensive line. I hadn't really given it much thought, but it's definitely the numbers are there and there's going to be a battle.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of battles. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what I was alluding to as well. And you brought it up is especially in the secondary. When I talked to defensive backs coach Tim Lewis for a little bit today, and that was one of the things I mentioned is like, okay, you can never have too many corners, you can never have too many safeties, but right now you have too many corners and you have too many safeties, and you know it's tough because it's one of those things where, and it's good for these guys, and Tim actually said something that stuck with me. He said a long time ago that. He said he thinks that it was James Lofton who told him that when the tide goes up, all the boats go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and meaning that as the competition level goes up, as you get more guys in there, you know, the other guys will respond to that and ultimately play at a higher level. And you know, I think we're going to have to keep an eye on that as we get into to training camp because that secondary is going to be hotly contested,
mm-hmm.
not just the cornerback positions.
Yeah.
You know, those safety positions. Now, look, you know, Dekou and Moore are firmly planted at that safety, at those safety spots. But backups, that's going to be a battle. And it's going to be one that, you know, a lot of people are going to pay attention to, but it's going to be one of those that you probably should because, you know, anything happens to Dekou or Moore and suddenly you've got to go to that next man up, and who's it going to be?
You're only as good as your weakest link, and
right.
You know, but those are some young guys, and when we're speaking, Shan Schillinger again, Charles Mitchell, and Mata and Ishmael, the two rookies that were drafted, and they have a variety of skill sets. They do a little bit different things, you know. So it's an interesting bunch.
Yes, absolutely. Anything else stick out to you today?
I spent quite a bit of time talking to Jonathan Massaquoi, mm-hmm. who I think is going to be one of those guys that is, quietly, it's going to have a real big opportunity in training camp this year to get a lot more reps. Obviously the big news in the offseason was the signing of OCU Mignora, bringing him in at defensive end. And in some ways, it's he kind of just takes the place of John Abraham. Jonathan Massaquoi is a guy, just a personal thing. I feel like he's a guy that the coaches expect a lot out of, kind of anticipate a solid season from. I think they're kind of putting him in a position where he's going to be asked to do a lot, and you know we'll see if that if he's able to do that. But just speaking to him, I'm impressed with the guy. Just from a speaking standpoint, you know, just standing there talking to reporters, he feels like he's comfortable with himself. He understands what's expected of him. He understands the playbook. And, you know, there's some new aspects with Coach Nolan's scheme this year. But really for him, it's just about every day showing that he's capable of doing the job. And he says he knows that everything that happens in the NFL is about trust, and you have to earn the trust of your coaches, and you do that by going out and performing on the field and doing what's asked of you. And whether that what's being asked of you is to just stand and consume a block, that's fine. Just do that well, and the coaches will trust you to do more and more. And you know, I just got a real good feeling from him, just talking to him today, about you know, kind of where his head's at and where he kind of fits in with the whole defensive end rotation. And I feel like that's going to be an interesting position, I think, because you got Cliff Matthews, who, when I spoke with Coach Hamilton, talked about his ability to play inside and outside. And Coach Smith had said earlier in the offseason that Cliff Matthews was the guy they had sent home after his season in last year with a direction to add some weight. So I feel like, you know, he's going to be an interesting tool in that front seven, basically, but you know, from a defensive end position. Coach Hamilton was speaking about him as well. And he said he liked what, you know, Massaquoi's doing. And then Corey Bierman is another thing, again, another guy that stood out to me, is just being all over the field. And the coaches, I think we spoke with four different coaches today between the two of us. And Corey Bierman kind of came up a number of times. So it's going to be interesting to see how he will continue to be used this season. I know last year he was a versatile guy, standing up as a linebacker with his hand down in the ground as a defensive end, and you know, dropping back in pass coverage, doing all kinds of things, and also a special teams ace as well. He's been that for a while. And Coach Smith said, you know, some of his special teams work may cut back a little bit this year, but he stressed that they still want him on special teams just because of how much he contributes there. So he's another guy that I'm looking forward to seeing do some things this year.
Yeah, and fans, if you're wondering why we're talking so much about defense, the way things are split up is that we were given access to defensive players and defensive coaches today. Next Wednesday will be offensive players, offensive coaches. So we'll talk a little bit more about offense. However, I would be remiss if I did not mention just the impression that running back Steven Jackson leaves with you when you see him on the field. And look, you know, I met him back when he was announced, when we signed him and we did a press conference and I had a chance to interview him. And you stand next to the guy and you shake his hand and you're like, okay, this is a big boy. He comes out on the field today and he doesn't even have pads on yet.
Yeah.
Okay. And he just, you know where he is.
Yeah.
At all times. And he's just that imposing figure that stands out. And we've got some great footage of him on AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure you take a look. But watching him do some of the cone drills and do some – he's a big guy. He's like 6'2".
Yeah.
Big boy. But he's got some fast feet. He's got some quick feet. Mm-hmm. He will make you miss. Some of those cones were looking at him like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know? But seriously, he's one of those guys where you watch him play and you're just kind of awestruck by what he can do. And we're not even talking about we're going full speed yet. We're not even anywhere near full speed. And he looked fantastic today. Yeah.
And what's interesting about that case is you're talking about Steven Jackson's nimbleness, you know, how quickly he was able to move, you know, in and out of the cones and do some of those footwork drills. But everyone in the NFL knows Steven Jackson as the bruising, run-you-over running back.
Yeah.
So that's what's so great about that. But you're right. You know, just seeing him, I took a picture and I shared it on Twitter. He was standing beside Sean Weatherspoon and Steven Nicholas, and he's as big as those guys. He's a linebacker playing running back.
Yes. And the other thing is, and we've talked about this, is just how versatile of a game. You mentioned that a little bit, but just as far as a guy who, yes, he's big, yes, he's strong, but yes, he can also deke you out of your shoes.
Yeah.
But he can not only take the handoff and run over you by running up the middle, but he can beat you to the corners, and he's really good at catching passes. And we saw that today, just how much of an addition that he brings to the passing game. Because, you know, the Falcons were practicing some screens. I mean, they're not practicing anything too complex just yet. But they're, you know, out there practicing screens, and Jackson every time catching the ball, catching the ball, catching the ball. And we saw, you know, in previous years when you try to run the screen, not as sure-handed at that position. So now you've got a guy who absolutely – you throw the ball at him, and he's going to catch it. And I think that just adds that other little wrinkle to this offense that I think defenses are going to have a hard time preparing for.
Yeah, and you talk about – we've heard, you know, the Falcons offense compared to, you know, offenses of the past, and St. Louis comes to mind, greatest show on turf. And what I saw, just a quick glimpse, is an improvement at a speed level. Jackson, he doesn't have, like, light, you know, Julio Jones speed, but he's quick, you know. And I just saw a more sleek version of the offense out there. And speaking of, and maybe this is one reason why I think of this, good to see Brady Ewing back out there.
Yeah.
Blocking for Steven Jackson.
Absolutely.
Nice to see them two in the backfield together.
And
had a long way back.
Smitty mentioned that today Brady Ewing, who had a knee injury last year, ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Smitty says he's at 100% right now.
Yeah.
And to go from, you know, an ACL injury like he had, and then to come back and be ready to go by OTAs,
yeah.
I think is just a huge credit to Brady Ewing and the work that he put in the offseason. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do.
Absolutely.
I know he's going to face a little bit of competition. There's some undrafted guys in the fold there. But, you know, I think he's another guy who can add to the passing game as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because but it is funny you mentioned it. It's like Brady Ewing next to Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, who's blocking for who?
Yeah,
here?
Really.
You know, because Brady's not your traditional fullback.
No, no.
By any means.
No.
You know, he's a sleek, slender version of that position, and you know, he is built for that screen game.
Yeah,
that's
and,
for sure.
And that's what, and that's some of that just again, these guys are not even. I wouldn't even call it half speed what they're doing out there, but it does. They just it just looks like a faster offense, a quicker, sleeker offense. And you know, Steven Jackson's a big guy, but he's still, you know, he's taller than he is wide. So if you will. So I like the shape of things right this minute. And again, this is the second day technically that the guys have been together and in the OTA capacity. So a long way to go, but you know, things they look nice, and it was really good to see them out there. So
yeah. Yes. Matt Ryan was out there as well. Head coach Mike Smith remarked at how well Lamar Holmes played at right tackle today. Obviously, you know, he's going to be in a bit of a battle with Mike Johnson and maybe some of the undrafted guys as you know, camp gets here for that right tackle position. Of course, the Falcons parting ways with Tyson Klebo during the offseason, so that's a hole that needs to be filled. But Smitty sounded very, very impressed with Holmes today.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's another hole to fill with Todd McClure, you know, retiring. So you've got the center position. It looks like Peter Kahns could be the front runner there, but certainly Joe Hawley in there. I even saw Jacques McClendon taking some snaps there. So, you know, there's some competition that's going to happen there. And the offensive line is going to look very different than it has in the past few years. But I think bigger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Coach Smith has said it earlier. This is the biggest and just as a group, we're not talking about five starters. We're talking about every guy that they've got on the roster right now. It's the biggest group he's had in Atlanta. So, and I think that was another decision. Like it was something that they wanted to have happen in the offseason. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get bigger, you know, in tandem with getting a little bit younger as well. And you can see, once you see all the guys out on the field together and they're working in their position groups, you know, I think even for us, like, we see a roster, we just see a roster of names, whether we know that we're familiar with those names or not, and kind of where they fit necessarily. But once you see them on the field, I think you start to get a more clear picture of the team as a whole. And Coach Smith said this as well today. He felt like that these are the guys we're going with. You know, this is where our cuts are going to, you know, our decision and everything are going to come from this group of guys. But you start to see that once you see them all together, you can see where they really started to plug in those young guys and kind of make the roster a little bit younger. So that's kind of interesting to see. One thing I thought was cool, just a quick moment, you know, you mentioned Matt. It reminded me of that, Matt Ryan, the quarterback. You know, he typically stays over with his offensive side with those guys over there and talking about whatever they talk about. But he came over, and his relationship with Asante Samuel has been discussed in the past, and Asante always seemed to have Matt's number. And I think Matt has a great deal of respect for Asante, and I know there was a point during a practice when he came over to Asante when Asante was on the sidelines, and, you know, Matt, it's a ways to walk, you know, to walk from the offensive side where they're standing over to where Asante was. Yeah. And they were just kind of having a conversation, and he was, you know, who knows what they were talking about, but it was most likely about something he had seen, you know, in a coverage or something like that, and maybe he was getting some insight from Asante because he's mentioned that he does that from time to time, and I just think that just shows, again, certainly it shows Matt's, you know, smarts in always trying to get better, but I think it just shows the level of caliber player that Asante is, that you've got guys like Matt, you know, Pro Bowl quarterbacks now, looking to him for advice, you know, repeatedly.
Agreed. Yeah, I definitely noticed that as well when Matt left the offensive side and went over to defense and talked a little shop with Asante Samuel. That was a pretty cool moment. All right, real quick before we get out of here, we do have to make this an abbreviated podcast this week, there's a lot going on around here. One thing that you're going to be looking forward to at next week's OTA sessions?
Looking forward to talking to the players, obviously, but one thing I'm looking forward to, man, Jay, you've caught me off guard left and right today.
All right,
nice job. Why don't you go first? Give me a moment.
You know, I'm just going to continue to look at some of these young guys and see how they come along. I think, you know, you look at every year you've got a crop of undrafted players, and traditionally, you know, the Falcons have added one or two, you know, when all is said and done. And I think right now is a really good proving ground. It's not the proving ground because we know that's training camp. But one of the things that Brian Banks actually mentioned to me today is now is the time when you're a young guy or you're a rookie that you ask the silly questions, you ask the stupid questions that are going to help you play better. Because once training camp comes around, you don't have that. It's you better know what you're talking about or else you know, you're going to get left behind, and because there's no time and there's no patience among the coaches to stop and explain everything. So now is that time to do that. So one of the things I'm going to keep an eye on is just how these younger guys are approaching the coaches, are approaching the veterans, because this is valuable time for those guys to be together. And, you know, it's one thing to see a playbook and to visualize it in your head, but out on the field is when the play moves. When you know what you're supposed to be doing, you're seeing the other guys coming towards you. And I think those are the times when it's so crucial to have maybe one of the veterans keep an eye on you during a play and see what you're doing and then go talk about it again. Or, you know, really pay attention to, you know, what the coaches tell you when you break down the film maybe later on in the day. So for me, it's going to be just keeping an eye on these younger guys and kind of maybe identifying a couple of these young guys who could vie for a position on the 53-man, if not the practice squad, when we get to August.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking next week. Is more we'll have more of an offensive feel, obviously, like you mentioned. If the offensive players will be the group that we can speak to, so our coverage on that day, especially, will have a little more offensive slant. So I'll be paying a little bit more attention to the offensive side of the ball. One position group that I always find interesting, and we kind of have this conversation every year about this time and heading into training camp, wide receiver. You know, seem pretty stocked. You're pretty well set with Roddy White, Julio Jones, and Harry Douglas at the top. After that, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
What happens after that? And you know, there's a lot of names, some of which are names that we're not that all that familiar with. And then there's a handful, like the guys like your Kevin Collins and your Drew Davises, who were around last year, who you kind of feel like have the are the odds-on favorites for some of those final positions at a wide receiver. But, you know, I'm just curious to see what those guys do. And it's just a thought that just popped in my head. Maybe I'm curious to what the final number will be with wide receivers. You know, do the pass catching running backs and that aspect of the offense now kind of make a gamble like taking four wide receivers instead of the traditional five? Is that a possibility? Is there anything to that? So
yeah,
we'll see with that. But I'm curious to see what some of those guys do. And personally, I'm a Drew Davis fan. I really like the guy. I like his attitude, I like his personality, and I appreciate how hard he's worked to kind of make the team and make himself viable as an undrafted college free agent player. So and he caught a touchdown last season.
Yes, he did. It was a great one. Spectacular.
Yeah. So, you know, he's a guy I'm always going to look out for and root for and hope he does well. So I'm really curious to see what the back-end wide receiver roster position guys are going to do starting next week.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back at it next week. I know that that this is a shortened version and we didn't have a Falcons flash or, you know, anything like that, but it's that busy time of the year. It's starting to get ramped up, and that's good because it means more football is on the way.
Right. If you want to know stuff to read about on the or if you want to find stuff to read about the Falcons, which is where we discussed Falcons Flash, right? That's where we talk about what we've read. Just go read everything on AtlantaFalcons.com, and you'll be well informed.
That's right.
Yeah,
I think
because that's probably what we would have done. We would have just pulled those titles out. So
probably. All right, fans. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will catch you again next week as the Falcons continue OTAs here in Flowery Branch. And make sure you tune in for that. And thanks so much for joining us.